Hey guys, Pastor Jeremiah here. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Tonight, we'll be discussing living holy. No compromise. Listen and be blessed. See, I have a desire to see our young adults community truly be set apart. Can you guys say that word, set apart?
Set apart.
Set apart means holy. Holy means set apart, right? They're synonymous with each other. And a lot of times what community is it's like a bunch of people in a clique that have similar interests. And I want to acknowledge that we're all different. We all have different interests, different things that make us unique, and that's beautiful. But there is a standard of living that God calls us to that makes us one. You don't have to like the same things. You don't have to like the same sports teams. Thank the Lord. But we do have to come to common ground of there is only one God, there's only one way, and there's only one truth found in His Word. That is the common ground that we come here tonight with. And I believe as we read the Word, number one, living holy is supposed to empower you, not meant to shame you. Tonight's not meant to shame you, make you feel like, dang, I messed up. I'm a sinner. Because guess what? We're all sinners, all right? Welcome to the club. But it is supposed to remind you that God has a better plan for your life than where you're at. And tonight, living holy, I want you to understand that this isn't about a solo journey into being a good Christian. It's about joining with the brothers and sisters around you to empower you to live this out. Because you and I aren't strong enough to live holy. It is not something that God says, you got to do this by yourself. You have to be a good Christian by yourself. No, no one is good. But when you and I rely on each other, we can actually see God's power work within us. So I want us to first go to Scripture and see where this basis is coming from. Because we're going to unpack all the truths and lies about what holiness is. Because there are some lies that I feel like need to be debunked here. And we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 onwards, because I want this to be like the context, the framework of how we look at holiness. So we're going to start with verse 13, and I have the verses on the screen because I felt like this is something really important. I want you all to read this word and see that this is what God says. This is not what Pastor Jeremiah says. This is not my standard I'm projecting on you. This is what the Word of God says for us to live on. It says in verse 13, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from a futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Let us pray. God, we're reading your word right now, and I pray, Lord, there may be some misconceptions. There may be some frustrations with what was read. There may be some confusion, but Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see what you want us to see ourselves in light of your word. Open our ears to hear your voice speak louder than our own. And Jesus, let this heart of stone be a heart of flesh. Mold us and make us after your will. God, we want to be more like you. And we're reading your word and we're asking, Lord, show us more of your glory. Because this is your church and you build us up. And I thank you, Lord, that everyone here is saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus, and that we can have confidence that you love us and you'll help us learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time? All right, that was like half-hearted, so we're going to try that one more time. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time? All right, guys, I felt like there was not that much energy here. And we're still somehow mostly segregated. So I'm going to point to you. One more time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. All right, we got the energy back. All right, thank you, guys. Thank you. So I wanted us to look at this key verse is found in 1 Peter 1 verses 15 and 16, and says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Can you guys say all your conduct?
All your conduct.
Oh man, come on, we got this. All your conduct.
All your conduct.
There you go. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. See, the Bible does not say some of your conduct. And you guys yelled it out. It was all your conduct, right?
Yeah.
It's everything. So we have to sit here and just ponder for a hot moment. What does all my conduct look like? Now, there's conduct that we think is frivolous or not really that bad. How you joke around, how you make fun of things. Your sense of humor, some of you guys might need a change. There are way too many guys looking at each other in that moment. There are way too many guys. Braden is not even looking at anyone right now. He's just... But there are a lot of people that we can associate and be like, all conduct, And here's the thing is, sometimes I feel like as Christians, we don't like talking about everything. There's stuff that's like, you know, this is okay because I know that person. That's all right because they won't be offended. They know my heart. Have you ever said that? They know my heart. Wow, no one? Okay. Okay. And you know, we can justify a lot of things, but God is calling us to be holy in all our conduct. And sometimes I feel that we have separated the word holy to being like an occasional thing. And here's where the word of God says that's not true. Because all means everything. Last time I checked, the dictionary says all is everything. 100%. And it says, from the Greek perspective of what the word holy is, it means set apart, consecrated, different from the world. Sometimes I feel that as Christians, we want to be too similar to the world. We want to be like Christian enough, but like also similar so that we don't look weird. Like that's like, I feel like that's like a big battle between Christians. How can I be like, close enough to the world, but not weird Christian. There's like weird Christian and the good Christian. And it's like, I feel bad because like, what does that say of our perspective of Christianity? Like, we think fully surrendering to Jesus is weird. We think that living without compromise is like, oh, you're that kind of Christian. Have you ever used that phrase before? And what God is just wanting us to see is that there was always meant to be a distinction between what a Christian was and what the world was. But because there's been so much compromise, we don't know what is what now. Sometimes as Christians, we're like, oh, a good Buddhist person is a great person that should be a Christian too, because they act better than some Christians I know. Then we have this whole conversation of like, some people from different religions are better than us Christians. And I'm here to say is, we have compromised on our standard, and that's why the world can meet us where we're at. When there's a compromise on the standard of what a Christian should be, the world can meet us. They can say, oh, I just do that. Oh, I give to the poor. You tithe? Well, I give to such and such nonprofit. There are religions who fast. There are religions who pray. So we're losing a lot of our moral argument for why Christianity is a great thing. And mainly it's because we're not really that set apart. We're just good enough. We're just, well, I'm saved because Jesus loves me. Last time I checked, it says, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved you, only you. God loved the entire world. And it's our obedience to Jesus that he desires, but he will always love you regardless of your obedience. And we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but that causes us to obey him. And if you don't choose to obey him, then you're not living holy. And if you're not living holy unto the Lord, what is the purpose of Christianity in your life? See, Israel was called to be distinct. So much so that they didn't even, when they were a nation and they were roaming around, they had Moses as their first leader guiding them, and then they had Joshua, then they had all these leaders, then they had judges. Then they stepped away from the leaders, then they had judges. And then you started to see that there were compromises that the judges made. And these judges started to have moral failures. So then the Israelites, and you read in 1 Samuel, they start seeing that the priests aren't good enough anymore. They see that Eli's two sons are practicing debauchery, fornication, drunkenness. They're stealing from the church. Then they look at Samuel's sons. Samuel becomes the leader, and Samuel's sons are doing the same thing. So then Israel's like, well, let's have a king. Because everyone else has a king. That's what they literally say. Everyone else has a king, so we should have a king. And Samuel recognizes that there is now less and less of distinction between God and his nation, Israel, and then the world. Because Israel started to have compromises. They were worshiping other idols. They were doing things that not right before the Lord. And the reason why I bring this story up to you is because God says, okay, let them have a king. The thing about holiness that I don't think we really recognize is that God isn't striking you down for not being holy. But you're losing your sensitivity to what is holy. And I think as Christians, we've lost a sensitivity of being set apart so that we are more frustrated with legalism than we are loving Jesus and wanting to honor him. See, living holy has nothing to do with legalism. And unfortunately, a lot of times in Christian spheres, the conversation of living holy has so much more to do with legalism. I am not here to legalize what Christianity has been in your life. But I am here to tell you that if you don't have a love for Jesus that makes you desire more of him, this conversation really can't be had. Why I say that is I can't have this full conversation with you because you are going to take my words as being forced to do something you don't want to do. The Word of God says Christ's love compels us. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. It's his love that compels you to change. It's not his forcing hand. It's his loving grace. If you're not willing to embrace the fact that Jesus loves you so much and he wants to transform your life, you're not going to want to live holy. It's a simple thing like that. God wants to change you to be more like him. He's not going to force you, though. Because we all know when we're forced to do things, we hold grudges. When you're forced to change because someone told you, you're not going to really submit to that change. And you probably have people in your life that you're still angry with because they forced something on your life. And I don't want you to feel in any way that God is forcing you to do anything right now. What God is wanting you to experience right now is his unfiltered love. God just wants to love you first. You will not ever understand holiness until you understand how much Jesus loves you. And it's because of his love that you want to honor him. You want to live a life uncompromised because God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you as a prophet, as a high priest. They're rejecting me. And I'll let them have a king. And you see, as soon as they got the king, it worked out for 1 minute. And then that king started failing. And then you see the rise of David. Then Solomon, bam. Up, down, up, you don't even know. It's when we put our trust in people to do things instead of relying on the Holy Spirit's power within us that we see a lot of moral failure, spiritual failure, compromise. Because there's this thing I've heard many people, Christians, tell me. I don't have any conviction in doing X sin. I'm going to tell you the reason why you don't have conviction is because, number one, you don't know what the Word says. And two, you've hardened your heart to not receive correction from the Lord. That's tough, but I tell you that in love because I want the Holy Spirit to be the only voice you hear. I want you to be obedient. I want you to surrender to Jesus because you cannot do holiness without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to have complete control. It's about total surrender to Jesus and his word. And the only way you can understand how to live holy is if you read the word and let the Holy Spirit speak through the word. Because then you can honor the Father, and then you have the whole perfect Trinity working in your life. See, we as Christians have compromises because instead of God's voice speaking through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and pushing us to honor him, we chase after validation. Validation is not holiness. Validation leads to compromise. You do not need a pastor, a podcaster to validate your Christianity. You need Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus that saves you. It's Jesus that satisfies you. And we're living in a world where we want our ears tickled to tell us that we're doing a good job. Tell us that we don't have to let go of things. Tell us that it's okay to occasionally stumble to sin. But if God says, be holy as I am holy, but our adherence to it continues to lead us into moral failures and compromise, what is the point of even reading this verse? Because a lot of times, sometimes when I read the Bible, when I'm not living for Jesus, when I wasn't choosing to abide in his word, I almost felt like it was an attack. I was getting persecuted. I don't want to read that. I can't live to that standard. Do you think that God, who is pursuing you with love, wants you to feel condemned? But you know who does? Satan. And guess what? In the Bible, we read that Satan used the word of God to try to deceive Jesus, to make Jesus feel like he could do compromise. So, can Satan work using the word of God? Yes, that's why you need the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Stop relying on what you think you know. What does the Bible say? How is the Holy Spirit revealing its truth? Does it agree with what the entire Word of God speaks? Because if you're believing a belief based off one verse, and this is what it breaks my heart. There are too many people on social media that have a platform that take one verse of the Bible and make their whole theology, make their whole basis of belief off of one verse. I want to tell you, the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible does not have compromise. The Bible does not say, this is a gray area. How can I say that with confidence? Tell me one place that the Bible says, this is kind of iffy. Where does God say, use your best judgment? Why do we leave ourselves in these vulnerable positions where God wants to use the power of community? Here's the thing. I believe that compromise starts small but ends into bigger things. Exhibit A, Samson. He is a man set apart to live a certain way, started having small compromises. If you know the story of Samson, he was told from childbirth never to drink wine, never to cut his hair, never to touch a dead animal. And then God would bless him with supernatural strength. And the thing was, Samson lived with compromise. God blessed him even when he compromised. It said he drank wine. It said he ate honey from the carcass of a lion that he ripped apart, which is wild. Right? He slept with a whole bunch of prostitutes. And this guy still has the nerve to think that his strength came from his hair. See, this is where compromise leads you. It had nothing to do with the power of God and everything to do with Samson's hair. I wonder what would have happened if Samson told Delilah, it's because of God that I'm strong. I wonder what would have happened, because he can't say it. The only reason why he can say his hair, because that was the last thing he had not fully compromised in. But he broke everything else. And if you break one thing, you break the whole thing. So he was no better when he already drank wine, when he already ate from a dead animal. He had already broken the covenant. And this is a part that I don't think Christians understand well. Samson had already broke his covenant with God, yet God still kept his covenant. But he lost his strength when he relied on his own power and not the power of God. Holiness leads you to recognize that your power only comes from God and God alone. It is not how strong you are, because none of us, I repeat, none of us are strong enough to live a life that is holy. And God doesn't intend it, because he says when you're weak, he will give you strength. It's all about his power that's at work within you. And that's why sometimes we don't recognize that our struggles, the battles that we fight, are not just about us trusting in God, but us believing that his word will give us the strength to survive. A lot of times, it's so easy to trust in God and sing those songs. I trust in God, my life is good. I trust in God, I have money in my bank account. He's my savior. But then whenever things go terrible, it's like you don't even want to sing. Because you're like, man, God hasn't been doing this. He hasn't been showing up. See, this is the time where his strength and his grace are to empower you to sing songs that you cannot see happen. And that's living in holiness. See, it's less about you being perfect in your weakness and more about being perfected in your weakness. And that's the process we don't want to have. We don't want to be perfect. We don't want to go through the transformation because it hurts. It makes us not release our full emotions. A lot of us just want to go on a rage and get frustrated with God. But what if, when you felt weak, you all of a sudden called up a brother or sister, say, hey, can you just pray with me? I'm really struggling with understanding God's will. I'm really struggling, but I know. And that brother or sister pulls up the Bible and they say, God's word says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's believe on that together. God's word says that he is a refuge and a strong tower. God's word says that there is power in the name of Jesus. See, that's when you start becoming holy. We'll never reach true, like perfect holiness. But the thing is God wants to perfect us in our faith, in our love, and he wants to transform us to be more like him. There's never like a limit where you're like, okay, I've achieved it. There's always new circumstances. And I remember the struggle against sin. You think, okay, this was like the stupidest thing, I'll admit. It's like whenever people struggle with pornography, they're like, that's the only sin I'll ever commit in my life. Man, you haven't lived life enough. There's pride. There is anger. There is frustration. There is self-deprecation. There's so many things that God wants to deal with, but sometimes we make it like we're perfect Christians except one area of our life. And then what we do, because we are too nice of Christians, we don't want people to know we're flawed. So then holiness becomes a self-condemning thing because, number one, you can't share it to another believer. Two, you feel like you're the only one struggling. Three, there's only certain sins, and this is the one that may ruffle some feathers. There are only certain sins that you need accountability for, or situations. You may be saying, what are you talking about? Here are the three things I see people ask for accountability for. Sexual sin, substance abuse, and physical fitness. Those are the three things I see people ask for accountability for. They say, oh, can you help me stay healthy? Can you hold me accountable? Making sure I work out. Can you hold me accountable so that I don't fall into pornography or lust or drinking, alcohol, drugs, you name it. But when anxiety hits, It's like, no, I can't use a community. When depression hits, it's like, no, I gotta work on this. It's just me and Jesus. There's a story in the Bible of Moses. Moses is called to lead the children of Israel into victory over the Amalekites. And it said that when Moses raised his hands, they got victory. But when his hands got weak and tired, they lost. They started losing. However, the Word of God also says that there were two individuals, Aaron and Hur. The name was Hur. That's the person. Aaron and Hur helped raise Moses' hands so that the Israelites could have complete victory. God did not use an angel. God did not say, I'm going to give you supernatural strength to do it. God used ordinary people who saw a problem and were there to help. If God could do that to the greatest leader of Israel, don't you think he wants to use you to help someone else in their struggle to live and focus on Jesus? Do we have to make this a shame thing or, oh, this is not that big of an issue? Everything you go through is important to Jesus. If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling depressed or anxious, Jesus cares. And he's not calling you to be perfect. He's saying, stop compromising on what are important issues and what are non-important. Everything to God is important. God cares about your depression. God cares about your anxiety. God cares about your sleeplessness, your tiredness, your fatigue, your frustration. God cares about it all so much that he wants you to trust him with people. Because last time I checked, the body of Christ is the church. And we are the church. And sometimes I feel that some people struggling with the major sins could really benefit from some people struggling in the not so major sins because they feel like they're always a problem. They feel like they're a burden to another believer. And sooner or later, if they are always the one sharing, like, hey, I need help here, I see it time and time again. They stop sharing because they're like, I'm a burden. I'm the only one who needs problems. I'm the only one who has problems. Everyone else in our community doesn't share. It's not your perfection that Jesus is after. He's after your humility. Are you willing to not care about what you look like because it will empower someone else to not care about where they are with Jesus? Because we're all chasing toward him. None of us are at the final stage in life, but God knew that you and I would be in this room reading his word, seeking his face for our community to reflect his goodness, his mercy, and his love. See, it's from a community that you'll be empowered to reject every attack of the enemy. Because if we say our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? Wouldn't it be better if there were five more people who are praying about your needs? 10 more people, 20 more people. What if we were a community that everyone joined together in prayer? That we actually, here's the thing, living in holiness is understanding that we stop minimizing or maximizing what sin is. If we are not receiving from God and we need help, we call out for help. And we respond with love and grace Because the word of God says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. The law that calls us to be more like Jesus is calling us to carry someone else's burdens. But how would anyone else feel comfortable carrying burdens of a stranger? So the final part about this that I want to leave with: the Pharisees focused solely on themselves and what their adherence to the law is. And I feel like a lot of times as church, we focus so much on our solo relationship with Jesus. I'm here to tell you that Jesus cares about your relationship with his bride. And his bride is the church. There is someone who needs you to think outside of your box, your limitations. There's someone who needs you to see yourself the way Jesus does, so that they can walk out in complete holiness toward the Lord. And I think a lot of times what has been lost in the church is a trust that the church is actually a healthy place to be vulnerable. That's why I don't want tonight to be about legalism. I don't want tonight to be about perfection. I want this night to be about a community that recognizes, number one, we are all sinners saved by grace. It is through faith in Jesus that we are made whole. The second thing I want us to recognize is that tonight is a night that we recognize that we cannot be holy without the body of Christ being whole. If you think that you can be holy by yourself and it's just about you, we're just like the Pharisees. They just focused on what outwardly. Jesus died because there was a world lost. God wants you to think outside of your sphere of influence, your friend circle. He wants you to think about someone else. Because so many people do not feel the love of God. And what they hear is all the rules that Christians have to abide by. And that leads them to hatred, bitterness. The church doesn't love the people who don't hear. I'm tired of that being the conversation about Christians. I'm tired of the world always winning when they say the church is unloving. We are called, it says, they will know we are Christians by our love. That's what the Word of God says. And Christ's love compels us to walk into obedience. We can't first force the world to be obedient to the Word when they haven't experienced the love of Christ. And we can't walk in obedience to the Word when we are not abiding in God's love. So, this is the closing point. Tonight, as we are discussing these things, I want to give an opportunity to just simply respond in a way of choosing to stop being okay with where you're at in your Christian walk. I feel like as Christians, sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm pretty good. I go to church, I do this, I'm okay. God isn't after you're pretty good. We read from the Word of God that He wants all your conduct to look like Him. He's not looking for pretty much all of it. 75%, 90%, He's wanting all your conduct. Number one, you got to recognize that it's not in line with the Word. But you're also doing it by yourself. You're also the only one that's holding yourself accountable. So there's a reason why there's cycles in your life. There's a reason why you keep on falling into sin. But tonight doesn't have to be a night like every other. Tonight could be the night where you grab a brother, grab a sister and says, hey, I've been struggling with this. I struggle to see God's love revealed in my life. I'm struggling to see these anxious thoughts disappear. Can you help me? Won't that be such a beautiful testimony of the power of Jesus? When we can all just be like, hey, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to join you in believing that God's word is true. And some of us just need to say, hey, Christianity has just been more about being good. It's not about being compromised. I like the world. But because I read what the scripture says, and I know that that's not what I'm supposed to do, I have to repent. And if that's any one of you, I want to tell you, God is rejoicing over you. I can't repeat this verse enough. It says, all of heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. That is the most exciting thing that could happen tonight, is when you recognize that you can't leave here the same, because Jesus wants to love you so much that you desire to walk in obedience. If that's any of you tonight, take this moment. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take a moment to respond. We'll have the worship team come up. And I want you to just, if you feel like, hey, any of those questions, here's a beautiful thing, and we've seen it this past week at church. The altar is meant to be a beautiful place where your surrender to God is something that you can take a step of faith in, literally, figuratively, and also it takes away shame. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not an uncomfortable place only if you are concerned about who's watching you. If you're looking and you're seeing like the people watch you, man, it's going to be awkward. But when you know that your Heavenly Father is right now wanting to embrace you with love, wants to rejoice with you, if you recognize that when you surrender, heaven is rejoicing and having a party, I'm going to tell you that shame goes away. And I want to encourage you to not let fear have the final word for tonight. You can live holy for the Lord. You can live life with no compromise, but it takes one step. I'm not telling you to master everything, to be a perfect Christian. I'm just telling you, take one step and trust that a body of Christ will support you. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life tonight. And let the Lord lead you. Thanks for listening to our podcast. My prayer is that this message strengthens and encourages you to live holy for the Lord.